Please arise. You may be seated. Family and friends, we are gathered here today to grieve the loss and remember the life of Dirk Wolfert, who was taken from this life on Tuesday, July 24th, at the age of 83. For you, Corey, the loss of a loving husband for these many years. And the loss of a dear father for you, Derek and Delia, Bill and Laura. As grandchildren, Dirk, Dan, Hannah, Brandon, Allison, Jessica, and Colin, and Billy, you have lost your opa, as you have affectionately called him. And to a few of us, he was an immediate neighbor. And to others, he was a special friend, maybe even a golfing partner. To us, as congregation, he was a member and brother in the Lord. We come together to grieve and to remember, and as family, I'm sure each one of you have special memories that you share with us. Some of them have been shared in the bulletin even. We come together in the presence of the Lord in this gathering in order to pray together, because at times we just feel so frail and helpless, so brokenhearted, that we need His grace, His special work, the work of His Spirit, to hold us up, to sustain us. And that is something that we will experience, especially you, Corey. We also have come together to listen to the Word of God. Our words, when we come and express condolences, just seem to be so weak, but God's word is powerful, effectual. It is truly comforting. We come together also to sing, and that's something that Dirk loved to do. Even on his deathbed, he sang many times with the family, and so we would be remiss if we did not also sing. And we'll be doing a fair bit of that. Let us start by doing that, by singing "The Lord's My Shepherd." Psalter 53 in our Psalters. You can find the Psalters in front of you. Number 53.
Thank you.
us listen to a series of Bible passages. Some of these were read at Dirk's bedside. And since Psalm 23 was a favorite of his, I tried to follow along that theme in picking out passages that were somewhat related to the shepherd and sheep theme. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 34, verse 6 to 11. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Luke 15. The well-known parable of the lost sheep. He spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. John 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Dirk loved to sing, and he told me that when he and his father would go off to the farmer's market, then on their way they would sing together. And he developed quite a good sense of music. He could hold a tune very well. Once we came to his bedside with some song sheets, and he took it and he saw it, and he just started us off singing in St. Catherine's Hospital right on the right note. And it was a moving experience. One of those songs was, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." Let us sing that together. Let us unite in prayer. Glorious God, we do thank Thee for the fact that even in times of trial and difficulty, we may come to Thy throne of grace to find help in time of need. We've been invited to do that. We've been invited to come even with freedom of speech, with a liberty to pour out our heart before Thee. And O Lord, when hearts are broken, Where else can we go to find true relief? What real refuge is there but to Thee? For Thou art the one who has the words of eternal life. Thou art the one who art able to work by Thy Holy Spirit in a way that truly comforts. But Lord, we pray therefore that Thou will be with Corey and her children, and that Thou supply for them and the grandchildren. And Lord, we pray that to their hearts, even as they are wounded by this grief, may experience the healing effect of what is sometimes called the balm of Gilead, that working of Thy Spirit by the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. For that truly is medicine for our hearts. And Lord, we pray for Thy blessing upon us as we now open Thy word together. Wilt Thou help us with clarity of mind and with reception in our heart, that we may understand and receive the words of Scripture as they come to us. Lord, we ask Thee that Thou will use Thy word in our lives to strengthen us in our faith and grant us, O Lord, what we need. Use it in the hearts of those who may be at a distance from the work of salvation. And Lord, we pray that Thou will draw them into closer fellowship with Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thou will work Thy saving work by Thy Holy Spirit in accordance with Thy grace. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. It was clear through the times that I visited Dirk that Psalm 23 was a favorite of his. I want to read that psalm with you, and you can find it in the Pew Bibles on page 491, or you could just flip over the bulletin and read along from the back of the bulletin. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to use the first verse for the meditation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and take that in connection with John chapter 10 and verse 14. There in the passage where Jesus declares Himself to be the good shepherd, and there's much instruction and comfort here that you could further read, but I want to focus on these words. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Corey, family, and friends, in the last 5 years, as I was visiting Dirk in various times of his life and the trials of his health that we have experienced with him through these years, it was, as I said, quite clear that Psalm 23 was one that was often on his mind or requested by him to be read. And it is this theme, this very well-known picture of the Lord as a shepherd. And it starts with a confession, a very personal confession. The Lord is my shepherd. And how necessary it is that that be a personal confession in order for us to appropriate all the comforts that come throughout this passage. I want to focus with you on John 14, 10 verse 14, as a fulfillment of this idea announced by Jesus himself under the theme, Loving the Loving Good Shepherd. And I'll divide it this way, our need of the Good Shepherd, secondly, his love for his sheep, and thirdly, our love for the Good Shepherd. I know the points are not in the bulletin, but if you want to remember them, just these words, our need, his love, our love. Our need, his love, our love. First of all, why do we need this Good Shepherd? Our need. One thing that should probably be made clear is who this Good Shepherd is. Now, David himself was a shepherd. He knows about being a shepherd. When he was a young man, he cared for his father's sheep. While his brothers were off in the army, he was taking care of his father's sheep. And he knows what it is to face various trials and dangers, even the danger of a bear or a lion. That was quite real in his life. And yet, throughout the rest of his life, as he was running away from King Saul, chasing him because he was a threat to his position, and the trials of various enemies, David knew quite well that he needed the Lord as his shepherd, and that the Lord actually was his shepherd. And he confesses that in this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. We notice the capital letters that tells us in the translation that this is the name of Jehovah. Jehovah God, the Lord, is the covenant God of Israel. He is the one who is the shepherd. But we notice also as we read through prophecy that this shepherd theme becomes more and more crystallized and clarified by prophecy as pointing to the Messiah King who is going to come. Isaiah 40 speaks about the Lord coming and that he is going to come with his strong arm, and we read that passage, and that he will also take these lambs up in his arms and carry them, and that he will gently lead those that are with young. This gentle picture reminds us of Jesus later coming and inviting the children. Don't forbid these children, but suffer the little children to come to me. And as you see Jesus picking up these children and putting his hand on them and blessing them, you get this idea, he's the fulfillment of this gentle shepherd of Isaiah 40. The Lord, the shepherd, is Jesus. Well, he is truly the Son of God, and yet he has come into the human nature to be a real shepherd. And throughout his ministry, he came as such. It's no surprise then that Jesus announces in John 10, I am the good shepherd. He's saying there really never was a shepherd like myself. He is the supreme fulfillment of the good shepherd. Now, back to the question, why do we need him? As we read through Psalm 23, and you go through these various images, then you realize that one aspect of it is the one that comes out in verse 1, I shall not want. What does that mean? Well, it means I will not lack. It's an old English word. And it comes up in other places like Psalm 34. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack. They suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Well, that's exactly the idea of this, I shall not want. It's, I will not be lacking any good and necessary thing in my life. I like the story of a little girl, maybe she was 5 or 6 years old. She had learned, the Lord's my shepherd. And so her parents thought it would be quite cute to have her stand up in front of a crowd at a certain program and recite, the Lord's my shepherd. Well, she got so nervous that she only got this far. The Lord's my shepherd. And you just see her, you know, kind of pulling at her little dress and nervous and looking up, and she didn't know the rest. So she said, she knew it was something with the word want. And so she said, and I don't want anything else. And I think she got it. That was really just the idea. Because if you have the Lord as your shepherd, what more do you want? He's the one who can provide everything you need. And so when the confession comes out of the mouth of David, even as a king, he has all kinds of things. But if he doesn't have the Lord, he has nothing. But if he has the Lord, he will not lack any good thing. If we go over the psalm, we might get the impression that it simply has to do with physical needs. At least that's a possibility. You might look at, well, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Yes, his sheep need green pastures. And when they're good and full and have their bellies full, then these sheep, well, they will lay down. If they're hungry, they don't lay down. They're looking for food. So that's a picture of really having fullness of food. Besides still waters, well, we need drink too. So then you get the idea that just like sheep need drink, so we need a prepared table in verse 5. Well, yeah, that sounds good. But there's more here than that. Notice in verse 3 it says, he restores my soul. It has to do with life and death issues. And Mr. Wolford, when he went through all kinds of trials and difficulties, increasingly We saw him become more and more aware of how prayer was so important. And through each trial, it required that we come to the Lord. And so many times the Lord helped him through a heart operation or a difficulty in a trial. And he experienced such joy in knowing the Lord answers prayer. He restores my soul. He brings me back to life. And the picture of the sheep, by the way, is that apparently sheep, they can sometimes tip over and end up on their back. And they will die if they don't get back tipped back on their feet, as I read about it. And so the shepherd needs to come running and tip the sheep back up, and so it won't suffocate. And he restores my soul, David says. It's just like that I've experienced so many trials and difficulties. I was at the edge of death, or I was in spiritual anxiety, and the Lord restored me. He brought my breath back. And but there's something even deeper than just depending on the Lord for food and drink or depending on the Lord to sustain our life. There are soul needs that are expressed here poetically by David in this psalm. David is speaking of things that go well beyond the physical. He restores my soul is speaking about a spiritual restoration. He is speaking here further about saving goodness and mercy that follow him. He is speaking about the forever. He is looking ahead of being in the house of the Lord. These are spiritual matters. And when you think of him confessing this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You need something much deeper in a spiritual way to be able to profess that. When it was clearer to Dirk that there would be no recovery this time, that was difficult for Corey to talk to Dirk about. We went through so many times when we made use of the means medically. They went to the doctor and I could sit with them and pray with them, and there was some hope and some anticipation of recovery. It was difficult for him to appropriate this reality that he would not recover. And yet he came to the point that he was surrendered to it. It was actually very remarkable, very surprising even. It was truly amazing to watch this develop in him, that he surrendered to it, that he was at peace with the Lord, that he revealed the comfort of knowing the Lord was with him. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me," seemed to be a real experience of his. He could even sing of his love for the Lord. He even grew to the point where he would speak to his children about these necessary things. We even heard from one of the cleaning ladies at the hospice, "Oh yeah, he talked to me about Jesus." And we saw these fruits coming out of his life that were just, well, he was ready. And don't think this was a matter of course. These are not things that are of course. These are things that are amazing. I love this typical saying of his when he expressed something, he described something. It might have been about everyday things, but he would say, "Amazing, can't believe it." You know, but I found myself witnessing these things and wanting to say, "Amazing. I can't believe this." I had to believe it because I was experiencing this. I was seeing this. And it was a joyful thing to experience this. Why is this amazing? Why is this a surprised by grace thing? Because we're all lost sheep, you see. And we're like Isaiah 53 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Psalm 119, David confesses, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." Ephesians 2 teaches us that we're all by nature dead in sins and trespasses, that we're children of disobedience. And the Bible teaches us clearly, God is a God of justice. He is holy, and his justice demands that sin be punished with an everlasting punishment. And so facing death is not something you can face peacefully as a matter of course. How can anyone then truly say, "I will fear no evil"? Well, it's possible, secondly, because of the love of Jesus for his sheep. You see, this psalm is all the fruit of the good shepherd caring for his sheep. It's because he loves his sheep that his sheep can express love for him. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "I know my sheep." The word "know" is full of rich meaning. Just as in Amos 3, the Lord says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." It's quite clear that Hebrew word "know" as it's translated know, is something distinct. Because God knows all the families and all the nations of the world. He knows about everyone. Why does he say of his special covenant people, "You only have I known"? Because that word "know" has a special meaning. It is to know with distinguishing affection. You might say, "I know about a lot of women." But then you say, "I know my wife." Now, that's a knowledge with distinguishing affection. That's the way the Old Testament Hebrew word is used. And Jesus, with his home language of Aramaic, bringing out the Greek into the Greek language, it has that significance. Jesus says, "I know my sheep." It's shepherd. He knows about all kinds of flocks, but he has his own flock, and he loves those sheep. He knows them in and out, and he knows them with a special distinguishing affection. It is in that way Jesus says, "I have my sheep, and I know them." Why do you think a man having 100 sheep and loses one would go out and into the dangers of the night and whatever to find the one sheep, as Jesus told that parable? Because he loves that sheep. And the Lord rejoices over a lost sheep that is found. Jesus loved his sheep so much that he died for them. That's why Jesus says in that same John 10 passage, "I know my sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep." You see, in Isaiah 53, we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And then right after it says in verse 6 and 7, "We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." As guilty lost sheep, we have a guilt record that needs to be punished. But the gospel tells us the Father has taken that guilt record and he placed it upon Jesus. And Jesus came into this world in order to take that guilt record to the cross upon his own shoulders, and he took the punishment of the wrath of God against those sins. "I lay down my life for the sheep." He paid the price. He paid the price so that all their sins would be forgiven. Maybe you're asking, "Well, how do I get that forgiveness? And how do I know that I have that forgiveness for my own heart and soul?" Well, that brings us to a third point, our love. Jesus says here, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." He loves them. And because he loves them, and he died for them, he will make sure that they hear the gospel and become saved, and that his love produces love in their heart in response to his love. "My sheep hear my voice," he says in John 10 in another spot, "and I know them and they follow me." He expresses his love toward them. He lets them hear his voice and they follow him. They respond to his voice. We can't perfectly judge who really are his sheep and who are not. Ministers can't pretend that they make that final judgment. We like to see encouraging evidences of that, and that's wonderful. But the deepest comfort for the sheep is this: he knows who you are. He knows his sheep. And he knows if you love him. Isn't that what Peter could confess when he was by the Sea of Galilee? He had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus put him to the test. "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter was able to say, "You know all things. You know that I love thee." Well, one thing that will be evident then, if our sins are forgiven by him, is we will believe in him. We will hear the gospel and believe in him. We will embrace his gospel call and come to him. We will respond to his call. And how important it is when we hear the gospel that we don't resist that call, that we don't turn it down. And what is this call? Well, it comes in the Bible in so many places. Open your Bible and read it, and you will hear his call coming through the scriptures. You will hear it in the preaching. One of his calls is one of my favorite texts, Matthew 28, verse 11. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says, "Come to me." He's inviting us to come in faith to him, and he will give us rest from the burden of our guilt, rest to restore our soul, rest to enable us to even face death at peace with him. Not only will those sheep of his believe in him upon hearing his voice, but they will love him. "I am known by my own." And how does that happen? Well, it's by the miracle of converting grace that John describes also in 1 John 4. We love him because he first loved us. And some people think that's just a response of decision. You know, I hear in the gospel that he loves us, and so then I decide to love him. But it's much deeper, more profound than that. Because by nature we don't love him. And by nature we won't even make that decision to love him. What is it? Well, the gospel that reveals his great, amazing love comes to our mind with the power of the Holy Spirit and overwhelms us, so that his love irresistibly makes us willing to love him. His love is so powerful that by the effectual communication of his love by his Holy Spirit, he makes us hear the Good Shepherd's voice. He makes us understand the shepherd's love. And he works in us by his Holy Spirit so that even against our nature to hate him and avoid him and go away from him, yet something mysteriously draws us and makes us want to listen to his voice and makes us want to love him. Some people, when they start a relationship with a new boyfriend or girlfriend, they say, "I just fell in love." You know, it's like you just couldn't help it. You just fell in love. Like, I didn't even decide it. I couldn't help myself. I just fell in love. There's something irresistible about this person that drew me to themselves. Well, of course, we shouldn't go losing our minds when it comes to love. We better be pretty sober about it. But there is a parallel there in that when it comes to loving Jesus, indeed there's something irresistibly working in our heart so that he makes us love him. I find one of the most difficult questions my wife might ask me is, "Why do you love me?" You got to be careful how you answer those things too, but you have to say to an extent that I just do. It's hard to explain. You just do. You have been brought to this point, and yes, there is a decisiveness about it, but it has been worked in you. And that's how the love of God comes about in our heart also he works it in us to will and do of his good pleasure. It's an amazing heart-changing thing, an amazing grace thing that enables us to truly confess, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." Let me just close with this personal thing that I experienced before we sing this song. When Dirk was brought to the hospital, and he realized that he would not get better, he realized that he would probably not go home. He realized that even that there was probably going to be a funeral, like today. And one of the first things in that conversation that I had there in the emergency room cubicle, he asked me, "Will you make sure they sing?" And then he had difficulty with the words to remember them exactly, but... And he said something about loving Jesus. And well, he hummed the tune to me very carefully and very distinctly. And I went out puzzled a bit, and I thought, I know what that is. That's Psalter 221. "Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love." Because that's what we're familiar with. Next morning, I woke up and I realized, no. That's not the one. That's the same tune. He had the tune right, but when he talked about, "My Jesus, I love thee," that's the song out of the Psalter hymnal. And so I knew that since he was quite acquainted with the Psalter hymnal, that's what it was. So I made a photocopy of that Psalter out of the blue book that I had. And those two songs were sung quite often at his bedside. And the first time I took it, and Mrs. Pearsma was with us, and he started us off right on the right note and went right on singing. It was a joy, a moving experience. But at his request, then we're going to sing that. And Psalm 23 ends up with this marvelous confession that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the Good Shepherd, he has given his disciples that comfort as well, that he's preparing a place for them in heaven. And we can just imagine that Dirk too is there with the Lord, and that he is there with the Good Shepherd, that he knows him, and that he's singing to praise him. And indeed, all glory must be to the Lord for these things, because he is the one to whom all praise must be given. Amen. Let's sing that song.
Thank you.
Before we go to pray, I just want to mention, to remind you, that after the services, you're all invited to join the family for a light lunch in the hall after the service. And also, I've been asked on behalf of the family to thank the congregation, the friends and members of the congregation who've come and shared in this time. To thank you also for the various tokens of support and comfort that you've expressed in times of visitation and other ways of expressing your love and support. And want to express gratitude to Tom and Funeral Home for their services also. And let us together join and bow before the Lord. We will also ask a blessing on the food. Well, Lord, we do come before thy presence to give thy name praise and glory. Indeed, all good things come from thee, and what a wonder and amazing thing it is that mingled in with the grief of illness, there can yet be those elements of thy Spirit's work renewing and preparing for the time of death. How wondrous and amazing it is that even in a service of memorial regarding the death of a dear one, that we can still hear the glorious news of the gospel that calls us, invites us to come to the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd, the one who also laid down his life for sheep, even for sheep that are prone to go astray. And Lord, we are prone to wander. How we know it. May we be led also by thy grace to come to thee, with the burdens of our own heart, to come as one irresistibly drawn and effectually brought into communion with thyself through Jesus. And Lord, we pray that thou will work in the hearts of the children and grandchildren of Dirk, and that they too may all their lives desire to give thee praise, to serve thee also in the way they live. And Lord, will thou bless them. We pray for thy blessing upon Corey as she will have to continue her life without her dear husband. And Lord, we pray that thou will be near her, that the empty place may be filled by thy grace and the faithful presence of thy Spirit. We ask for thy blessing also upon us now as we receive the gifts of food and drink. Will thou nourish us through these means and bless us in our fellowship with one another. Keep us in safety as we travel from here, whether it be far or near. Watch over us and keep us in the hollow of thy hand. And Lord, be a good shepherd to each one of us. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. In his name alone, amen. Let us sing about the amazing grace that changes hearts and gives liberty to speak of him in the face of death. Let us sing Amazing Grace.